Thank you, Jesus. Once again, we get to be in your house with people that have proclaimed you to be their Lord, people that love you, people that are accepted in the Beloved and known by you. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can just be together and love you with our imperfect love to try to learn to be more perfect like you. Give us the ability, Lord Jesus, today to recognize the flaws that we have and to recognize the strength that you have and how you'll fill that void and bring us to perfection. We're so looking forward to that final day where we get to join you in heaven and check out our brand new room and just enjoy eternity with you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Today we're in Mark chapter 14 and verses 66 to 72. I've titled it, Not Prepared. Previously, Jesus had asked Peter and the other disciples to kind of watch and pray, and they weren't able to. And I think, like most of us, it's so easy to get distracted by the world. You know, you're walking along the road and you see a big pile of bear poop, and it's like all of a sudden that's more interesting than everything else that you had on your mind before you saw that. And you just get distracted easily, and it's like, wow, let's even take a picture maybe, huh? So I saw four or five people taking pictures of that pile across the street this morning. It's like it's a tourist attraction apparently. But Poor Charlie, he's over there trying to figure out how to get a trash can that won't get broken into, and it's just not been successful this year.
Is that right?
Yeah, so they're doing their best. Anyway, you know, it's kind of being prepared means having your mindset where God wants you to have your mindset, and maybe recognizing things in nature isn't that far from being with God. It's one of those things that, if we can recognize, wow, Lord, you created this beautiful bear that is so strong and powerful that it wants to come and hang out with people because it likes what we have to offer, and maybe we have something to offer other people. And you can go on with the meditation on how we can be here for the world, even those that kind of seem nasty sometimes and do things that you wouldn't like. And, you know, you still can be there for them and care for those around us. So there's all kinds of ways to approach life. Peter is a character that we're going to look at today. And I love Peter because so often he reminds me of me. He kind of puts his foot in his mouth a lot. And he finds ways to just be on the wrong side quite often. He's chastising Jesus when Jesus is telling him something. He's like, no, that can't be. You don't know what you're talking about. Let me take you aside and correct you. And, you know, when he sees an opportunity, there's like a, you know, 600 soldiers here with a well-trained unit, the weapons and everything they have, and he whips out a sword and thinks he's going to take them on by himself. And he's just, you know, he's not always thinking straight. And I think most of us can relate to that in one way or another. Let's just jump into the passage. Here we are. While Peter was below in the courtyard, now Jesus had been arrested, and they're having this fake middle-of-the-night trial with the Sanhedrin that just happened to be available because they've been planning and plotting to do this for a long time. So Peter was below in the courtyard. One of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with that Nazarene Jesus," she said. Now, if Peter had been watching and praying and connecting with Father at this point, do you think he would have been able to say, yeah, I was? How tough would that be? He'd been hanging out with Jesus. They were like almost best friends for 3 years. They were close. They did everything together. And here he is. He's got this opportunity. There's this teenage girl comes up to him. Now, I know teenage girls can be a little bit scary. Intimidating. I don't know. There's a lot of names for teenage girls that she's just saying, you were one of him. You were with him. I think you and Jesus were together, weren't you? Well, he denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about, he said, and he went out into the entryway. So he's like, okay, I'm not safe here. There's this teenage girl that might recognize that I was one of Jesus' followers. So he wanders off a little further. When we read the other Gospels, we find, you know, Peter's kind of warming himself by the fire with the soldiers. It's cold evening. They're outdoors, kind of trying to keep an eye on what's going on inside this house. And when the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." So his accent's giving him away. And they recognized that you know, there's a connection between him and Jesus. He's had plenty of opportunity to say, "Yeah, you're right. I wonder how hard that was for him." You know, he's got this self-preservation thing going. And if you don't think that you would end up doing the same thing, you haven't been in a similar situation. It's one of these things where all of a sudden, okay, I can make a stand for Jesus right now, but what would happen to me? What would happen to my reputation? Who would think less of me? And you're looking around at the crowd, and that particular crowd wasn't real fond of Jesus. And they were the ones that had arrested him, and they were the ones that had brought him to this mock trial. And he's standing there feeling a little bit vulnerable. I kind of admire that Peter was trying to be close. But how many of us want to tiptoe into the kingdom and just have one little foot in the kingdom, and then the rest of us is back in the world and kind of trying to straddle that fence instead of making a decision to be on one side or the other? Well, the people around the fire, they're saying, "Surely you're one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." He broke down and he wept. Peter's repentance started immediately. He didn't wait. When Jesus picked Peter out of all of these people he's having as followers, he says, "Yeah, you're going to be one of them that builds my church. In fact, you know, Peter, his name had been Simon, going to rename you Peter, which means rock, and on that rock I'm going to build the church." It's like, "Peter, you're going to be foundational in what happens with the kingdom building. And later, after Pentecost, we find Peter goes out and he's like the primary preacher. And as he preaches that day, there's thousands of people are coming to Jesus because he's willing to connect himself and proclaim that Jesus is Lord. But here, he's intimidated by the soldiers. He's intimidated by this little teenage girl. It's like one of these things where he didn't want to be known as a follower of Jesus right then. And Jesus had predicted that, and he denied it. No, that would never happen. And all the rest of the disciples said the same thing as well. They would never fall away. And yet every one of them did. And then Peter specifically was told, "You're going to deny me three times." And here, as he's breaking down and weeping, he's probably also realizing once again, Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about. Every time he said something, it came to pass. And he said he would be arrested, and now he's been arrested. He said, "I would deny him three times," and I've denied him. And he's got to be thinking, I hope he was thinking in his head at that time, and he said he was going to rise again, and he would see us again in Galilee. And as he's weeping, how many of us have had that moment in our lives where we've just had a broken spirit and a contrite heart? And when God sees that, he says, "Yeah, I can use that." A haughty spirit, God's not so fond of. But a broken spirit and a contrite heart, God says, "Yeah, there's a good beginning." Proverbs talks again and again about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we want to know God, we need to recognize that we're not God. And that's kind of an important step. It's interesting to me when you see people that are powerful in one way or another around others, people humble themselves and start to become like that powerful person. You feel small, but not necessarily in a bad way. It's like you recognize, I'm not that. I think I saw Steve Harvey is he the one that does Family Feud? He was having one of these celebrity family feuds, and Shaquille O'Neal was one of the guys that was on one of the teams, and he ends up, you know, his team wins to the point where they get to stand out there and, you know, guess these five things and whatever. Here's Shaquille O'Neal standing next to Steve Harvey. Steve Harvey's not a little guy, but he looked tiny in comparison. And he's like, he kind of like, okay, I'm not sure this feels right. He kind of steps away a little bit. And I don't know, there was that other time I was watching Johnny Carson, except he was gone. And do you remember who was? A really brash lady was on there doing the guest host, and
Joan Rivers.
Thank you. And one of the people she was supposed to interview was Mr. Rogers. And Fred Rogers walks in, and Joan Rivers' demeanor changed. She was in the presence of someone powerful in a different way.
Yeah.
And he brought in a sweater that his mother had knit for Joan Rivers and gives it to her. And she's just melting here. You know, her normal persona that she liked to push out there just was gone. And I think when we put ourselves in the presence of God, when Peter and the other disciples were asked to watch and pray, had they done that, they would have been in the presence of the Creator of the universe, someone way more powerful than Fred Rogers or Shaquille O'Neal. Somebody that if we recognize who he is and who we are, and the difference there, and the fact that he still wants to be around us and he loves us and he's calling us to him. And it's like, okay, that's how we humble ourselves, is not by making ourselves less, but by recognizing who's greater and looking at that. And here, I think Peter's in the process of doing that. And when we break down and recognize our flaws and our faults and our problems, we can start having some healing take place. If we're constantly trying to say that it's not my fault and blame everybody else around us, that's not humility, that's pride, and that's never going to bring healing. Earlier in Mark 14, the same chapter, I've mentioned this a couple times, Jesus is in the garden and he's going to pray, and he's praying to the Father in a very intense manner. And he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter. Now it's interesting here that he used the word Simon. He goes back to his old name. That wasn't what he would normally call Peter. Are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Jesus knows our hearts. He recognizes that even when we're willing, sometimes we're just physically not capable of doing what we need to do. Have you ever noticed when you're really in a lot of pain and you haven't had enough sleep and maybe you haven't had a meal for a while, that you can get grumpy and your demeanor changes? And it's like, it's not that you're a different person, it's just there's some stuff coming out that you'd rather not show. And the flesh is weak. And if we keep on just living in the flesh, we're going to be weak. But if we live in the Spirit, we can be very strong. Here's Peter later on, after quite a while, he's helped form the church, he's done a great deal, and he's writing epistles, letters to believers. And in this letter that he writes in 1 Peter, starting with verse 13 of chapter 3, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. Now, this is advice that I think Peter would have loved to have been in a time machine and gone back and given to himself. while he's sitting in that courtyard, and then this teenage girl comes up and intimidates him, he didn't have to be frightened. He didn't have to be fearful. He didn't have to worry about the threats of whatever. There hadn't been an overt threat there, but he's imagining a threat because they've arrested Jesus. What are they going to do to him? But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And I'm pretty sure that when Peter wrote this, he's thinking back on that time that he wasn't prepared. And he wasn't ready to give an answer. And they're saying, hey, you were with him, right? You know Jesus. No, no, no. And then he starts cussing and swearing, and he's just not going to have any part of that. And now he's saying, here, the advice I can give to you is be ready to give an answer. If people ask you about the hope that you have within you, be ready to give an answer. You don't have to go around and pound people over the head with it. You don't have to go up to strangers and, you know, tell them, unless that's what God's telling you to do. But I think oftentimes the people that are most vocal for Jesus are also the most damaging because of the way they do it. But if people notice your life and that, you know, here you're living a happy life, you're content, things are going pretty well for you, even when they're not, you handle it, they're like, how can you not be upset? And then you've got an opportunity to talk about that hope that is within you. And if we're always prepared to give an answer, the way you do that is to stay connected with the Father, to stay continually watchful, prayerfully accepting our place in this earth, whatever purpose God's called us to. If we're ready for that, when people come to us, we're going to be ready to give an answer. Do this with gentleness and respect. I think, again, one of the problems that Christians have had is when they start telling people about, you have to be like me, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that, and it becomes accusatory, and it's not gentle or respectful. Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And I think we're so quick to want to defend ourselves and stand up for ourselves that we forget that God is our defender. And if we just stay connected to Him, people will be ashamed of the slander they bring against us. Doesn't mean they're going to stop the slander. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. And here's Peter, I'm sure, remembering back to that time period where he wasn't willing to proclaim the name of Jesus. He wasn't prepared. He wasn't ready to give an answer. Big heart change. And I think we all need to just contemplate, okay, where are we with God? Are we connected to Him? Are we ready if somebody asks us, hey, what are you doing? What's happening in your life? Can we tell them anything? Or is it like, well, I'm just hoping I can get through. You know, we've got the list of pains that we woke up with that morning, and we can come up with all the events that have taken place that have caused us grief, and you know, or we can talk about how, yeah, God has always been there for me, no matter what. He's never let me down. In Proverbs 16:18, this is a verse that sometimes it's misquoted, but I don't think the misquote takes away from the meaning of it. We've all heard that pride comes before a fall. But pride comes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. When Peter whipped that sword out, he was pretty proud of himself. He was going to stay with Jesus to the death. And he starts swinging at somebody's head and cuts their ear off. And that destruction that could have taken place there if Jesus had allowed the pride to continue. It's like, no, stop. Put it away. Heal the ear. A haughty spirit before a fall. And I don't know that not being able to stay watchful was a haughty spirit for on the disciples' parts. They were exhausted. And Jesus was asking them to watch and pray. they weren't able to for whatever reason. And the fall did come. He had predicted that they would all fall away. And they did. But we don't have to